Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Nightmare may be coming to an end as the Mueller probe has just been delivered to the Attorney General. CNN is heartbroken because it's happening at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, East Coast time, so they're not going to have as many viewers obsessing over it all.
You know
weekend.
What they say about doing the dump on a Friday afternoon?
You know, Would Mueller do that?
I don't. Who knows?
I mean, you worked on something for 2 years.
This was a nearly 2-year investigation.
Yeah.
This has resulted in felony charges against 34 different people, including 6 people who served on the president's campaign. And it is being delivered on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah. CNN, they look crestfallen because they would have wanted to go wall to wall.
No, I think they look actually out of breath. Right now, because I don't think anyone was expecting it today.
Yeah, they've assembled. That's a pretty motley looking panel they have. They haven't combed their hair or anything.
Did you
on the set? Get on the set right now.
There were signs though. There were signs that it was coming to an end. People who've been working on the investigation were like leaving for vacations, etc. So it looked like it was wrapping up. And then there's been speculation that President Trump is saying a lot of the stuff about McCain and some of this other stuff that he's been saying that,
diversion.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe the signs were there.
Yeah. And for the AG, Barr.
William Barr.
He gets it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So he's got to do some OT now. Working tonight, I'm sure. He's got to read the thing.
Right. Well, and there's still a big question as to how much is going to be made public. Now, President Trump has said, go ahead, release it all to the public.
Yeah. He doesn't seem too concerned about it on one hand. And then on the other hand, like you said, he's just been increasingly bizarre with the McCain stuff. And this feuding with Kellyanne Conway's husband?
That's a whole separate thing.
Trump and her husband have just been going back and forth.
George Conway.
Vitriol.
Yeah.
And, or as President Trump calls him, Mr. Kellyanne Conway.
You think that was part of the distraction?
I don't know. Like I said, economy's great. ISIS is out of Syria. He's a great president, except he's just increasingly unhinged in other ways here. So, but the stuff with Conway's husband, and then Conway defends the president over her husband. A couple days ago, I heard her say, "Well, what do you expect him just to not respond to things my husband says?"
But I think that is just completely separate from this. I mean, there's been so much buildup for what is in this report. Now, this has taken nearly 2 years.
Yeah. I think that, by the way, that Kellyanne-George Conway marriage, I think it's in trouble. That's just my hunch.
I think George Conway is going to probably start calming down.
I don't know him. He's a whack job. There's no question about it. But I really don't know him. I think he's doing a tremendous disservice to a wonderful wife. Kellyanne is a wonderful woman. And I call him Mr. Kellyanne.
Okay, just to stay focused, I'm just getting some more information from the Associated Press right now. So yes. Attorney General William Barr says he could update Congress as early as this weekend about Special Counsel Robert Mueller's findings in the Russia investigation. So, in fact, what you said about him working overtime now into the weekend, that is going to happen.
But that's not going to be public.
No. As of right now, no.
Huh. Okay. All right. Well, if we get any more info through this hour, we will certainly pass that along to you. Then there's this. This is, man, there are some horrible, hateful people in this world. And the way, if you're a conservative, Eric Bolling used to be on The Five on Fox News. And then there were accusations of sex harassment, and he lost his job. And then right after that, his son died of what the coroner ruled an accidental overdose of Xanax and something else while he was at college. So Eric Bolling's at dinner last night, and some guy walks by his table and says that the dad's actions killed his son. And every time, if you've heard him talk about his son, he loved this kid so much. And Eric Bolling, he pulled out his phone, started recording video, and followed this guy who had just said, I mean, it is truly the most hateful thing that somebody could ever say about a parent, that you killed your kid.
That's what he wants, man.
That's somebody else telling Eric Bolling, don't. He wanted you to lose it. And the guy's smiling, this other guy.
Who are you talking about my son? Eric, that's what they want. My son is dead.
Wait, man.
Look at me.
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
It's really not.
It's funny.
It's
what they want, man. It's what they want.
This is what I need?
And the guy was laughing about saying that the dad killed his son, that the son OD'd because he was ashamed of his dad's actions. And this is another example of the hate among some on the left. But we see this so often. Hateful leftists who just, I mean, they wanted to inflict the worst pain that a human being can possibly endure because he disagrees with Eric Bolling's politics. It's just disgusting.
A guy who appeared to be talking on a cell phone walked by our table and turned towards us and said, Eric Bolling's son killed himself because he was embarrassed by his dad. It was a drive-by hit on me using the most hateful words a human being can deliver to a grieving father. I got up and followed this hateful moron out of the hotel. Now I chased him down and yelled whatever comes to the mind of a man who just been told his son killed himself because of him. Yep, I used some bad words. Yes, I followed him, and yes, I shouted at him. But no, I do not apologize. Eric was my world, my life. He died by accident, and certainly not because of me. I loved him beyond these words. Why would anyone do such a horrific thing? Over politics? Just because I'm a friend of President Trump? It's an evil world out there. I've been exposed to way too many hateful comments on social media and in the media. But last night, I came face to face with true evil. Over politics, folks. Have we all lost our collective minds? We're all human beings here, and some things are just off limits. And the drug problem is universal. It should bring us together, not be used as a tool of hate to the vulnerable. While trying to enjoy conversation with friends last night, someone or some group walked into my world and delivered what they wanted to be a death blow. I'm sure whomever these guys worked for wanted me to shut up. But guess what they did instead? They picked a fight with the wrong guy. On September 8th, 2017, I lost my son. I left my career behind, and I put my faith on ice that day, all in a three-hour period. I lost it all that day, and this is what I have left. Therefore, I will not shut up, not a chance. Eric Chase would never allow me to be intimidated by thugs like these guys, so I shall not. God bless the President Trump. God bless his supporters. God bless the United States of America, and goddamn those among us who use hate to fuel a political agenda.
You just, you hear the raw emotion in that man's voice, and I can't say I blame him at all. With that as long prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
As we told you yesterday, we got the breaking news right about this time yesterday that the cop killer in Central Washington, he is an illegal. He was. He's dead. He was also killed in the shootout with the police officer. And I say Jay Inslee has blood on his hands. And I know cops who agree with me on this. I got a text message from a cop friend of mine last night because he saw my write-up on My Northwest where I said just that, that Inslee's got blood on his hands because Inslee has so proudly proclaimed us to be a sanctuary state. He has done everything possible to try to attract as many illegals to Washington as possible. And I've explained many times that it's about money and power. You get an extra congressional seat because of our number of illegals. He made that an applause line when he announced he's running for president.
While other places close their borders and fear the unfamiliar, we are the state that opens our communities to immigrants and refugees seeking safety, shelter, and sanctuary.
Yep, we're the state that tries to attract as many illegals as possible. And now one of them has murdered police officer Ryan Thompson, Kittitas County Sheriff's Deputy. And what my cop friend texted me last night, read your post on My Northwest, spot on. As a cop, dad, and husband, I am furious with Inslee and Ferguson. My brother's blood is on their hands. That's how several cops feel. Maybe even most cops. They're the ones who have to deal with the results of sanctuary. And, you know, as a listener texted me a couple of hours ago, do you think they lose any sleep at all? Do you think that, and I guess I don't mean this as a rhetorical question. I would really love to know the answer. Did Jay Inslee lose 1 second of sleep last night when he realizes that sanctuary policy contributed to this cop's death? And I also had people who were trying to push back at me, saying, hey, the guy came into the country legally. He had a immigration visa, agricultural visa that had expired. But why is he in Washington after his visa's expired? Because this is the best state in the country to be an illegal. We spend $1 billion a year housing and providing food and education for illegals. And so, yes, we have the highest number of illegals per capita of any state in the United States. And so it is directly tied to sanctuary policy. And as my cop friend said, Inslee and Bob Ferguson have this officer's blood on their hands. But do they recognize it? Does it give them pause? Does it make them for 1 second? And yes, there are pushback that people give me. Oh, are you saying that American citizens never kill cops? Nope. Never said that. But I know that if this guy was not in this state, Deputy Ryan Thompson would be alive today. And that is tied to sanctuary. That is tied to the governor. And as I told you yesterday, this isn't a political thing for me. Because I said the exact same thing about Mike Huckabee when he was governor of Arkansas. He granted clemency to Maurice Clemens, who'd been sentenced to 120 years in prison. and Mike Huckabee signed the document that let Maurice Clemens out of prison. Clemens comes up here to Washington. He was not an illegal. But he gunned down four Lakewood police officers. And I said, I would never vote for Mike Huckabee. I agree with him on a lot of issues. I would never vote for Mike Huckabee. And I say the exact same thing about Jay Inslee, that this cop's death is tied to him, just as the four Lakewood officers are to Mike Huckabee. That is your big lead for this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news. The big breaking news this hour is the Mueller Russia probe has been delivered to the Attorney General. We haven't gotten any details of it yet, but he's going to brief Congress this weekend. We'll have more at the bottom of the hour news. And then awesome audio of the week. No, I'm not going to dance again.
You almost did.
Like I did last Friday.
I shouldn't have started smiling.
Yeah, maybe we'll dance a little bit. And I tell you what, it's amazing to me that I give a lot of credit to the Seattle Times. They cover our community. They break a lot of stories. I'm glad we have a newspaper in town. But huge headline in the Spokesman Review in Spokane. Road rage suspect who killed Kittitas County deputy was living in country illegally. Then you go to SeattleTimes.com. There's not even a mention of it on the homepage anywhere that it was an illegal. And I know that the Times just wants to help the agenda of the sanctuary crowd, but they don't even mention it.
Well, actually, it says investigators focus on background of suspect in Kittitas County deputy slaying.
Is that on the homepage now?
Yes.
Okay.
But it doesn't say anything. It just says focus on background.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything about illegal.
No, of course not. And the spokesman
In the third paragraph, it does say that he was in the U.S. illegally on an expired agriculture visa. I also saw
Well, it's in there, but I'm saying on the front page is what Dory's talking about.
Yeah. On the website, on the homepage of the website, it's just. It's crazy. It's crazy. But, they want to help out Inslee, I guess. Maybe they're buddies. Okay, with that as a prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the week.
Okay, the first story we have for you is down in California where a man built a fence. And his neighbor complained, said, your fence is too high. And the city made the guy shorten his fence. But he exacted some revenge on the tattling neighbor. He put, it's a outdoor table, and he has a bunch of naked mannequins sitting around this outdoor table.
Number three.
It's kind of weird.
I think it's funny. I love it.
It's a little hard for neighbors not to notice the mannequins in the buff outside Jason Wyndham's home in Santa Rosa. The kids certainly have.
They're naked. And they're in the front yard. Aren't they supposed to be in the mall?
It's all fun and games. It's just I want to be light with what's going on. Yeah. There's no reason to be angry.
This is amazing.
Wyndham says he originally built a tall fence to keep his dogs in, but a neighbor reported him to the city's code enforcement, and the city determined the fence was in violation of a zoning code that requires any hedge, fence, or wall to be 36 inches high.
They were going to fine me a lot of money if I didn't cut the fence down.
So he cut it down to code at 3 feet and then put up the display.
I was trying to bring the value of the houses around me up as well as mine in the process. And
does the value go even higher now?
It might.
And people are playing along.
I woke up after St. Patty's Day was over and I came out and there were shamrocks on her.
Wyndus is the owner of a moving company who cleaned out a clothing store and couldn't bring himself to throw the mannequins away.
That'll teach the neighbor to tattle on the guy. At number two, a guy said that on his bucket list, he wanted to engage cops in a high-speed chase. And then he did something bizarre at the end of the high-speed chase, as captured by the helicopter news crew that was following it.
Number two.
Oh, okay. Suspect doing some breakdancing here in the middle of the roadway, and he is definitely playing games with officers now, putting on quite a show for the CHP helicopter, which has now arrived on scene as well. So we've got several CHP units ready to take this guy into custody. He is definitely acting very erratically now, lifting up his shirt. I don't think they're actually asking him to do that. Those hands need to be up in the air. He needs to slow down and start taking a step back.
Yeah, it looks like the side shuffle's a little easier for him than walking backwards. If he is impaired,
yes,
I mean, it would be difficult. And
now
it looks like he's doing a little dance there, Stu.
There you go.
He is.
I was going to say, they must have heard you.
Wow.
They must have heard you. I don't know if he is impaired or if he's not impaired. But
no, I think he's impressive. I think he's impaired.
And the guy admitted to the cops that it was a bucket list item. He'd always wanted to be in a high-speed chase. And then he finished it with the breakdancing. Okay, and at number one, this is a guy. He was paragliding in Australia, and he landed right next to a kangaroo. And he thought, well, this is delightful. And he even greeted the kangaroo pleasantly when he landed. But then the kangaroo attacked and punched the dude.
Number one.
What's up, Skip? Hey, go away. Ah, kangaroos.
Right after, what's up, Skip? And then the kangaroo just comes and throws a haymaker at the guy. Those are our favorite sound bites of the week.
Those are Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the week on 97.3 Cairo FM.
And our awesome audio is brought to you by our buddies at Brown Bear Car Wash. Coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll have another update from CBS. The Mueller probe, the Russia probe, is finished. It's been delivered to the Attorney General, and we'll get you the latest on that, even though none of the contents have been released yet. We'll keep posted on that and today's sign coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week, what a week. You've done it again, giving me lots of exclusives. I love that we can break so much stuff on our show. And again, it's almost all of it comes from you and the tips you provide. And I really appreciate it. So after a week like this, we must finish strong with today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. A video of an airline passenger has set the social media world on fire. It's posted by somebody whose Twitter handle is Grimiest. Grimiest is a gender-fluid sex worker based in Brooklyn, New York, who also posts X-rated content on social media. And in the video, you see this person kneeling in an airplane bathroom cubicle, licking the toilet seat. She says, "Licking the airplane toilet because I'm gross like that." It's been viewed tens of thousands of times. Or shared tens of thousands. It's been seen by millions. You know, a couple generations ago, we had young Americans who came in landing craft and came by air, where they were jumping out of airplanes to save the world. Selflessly putting their lives on the line, many of them losing their lives to save the world from Hitler. If they knew when they were jumping out of the airplane at Normandy, if they knew that they were saving the world so a gender-fluid person could post videos of themselves licking toilet seats, I wonder if they would have said, yeah, you know what? Maybe it ain't worth saving. Maybe we shouldn't put our lives on the line for gender-fluid toilet seat lickers. What a country. What a country we live in. It's wonderful. Let's see. Oh, here's controversy. A Georgia high school refuses to let a girl who is all transgender, they're refusing to let her run for prom king. Dex Fryer was born female but identifies as male and wants to be the prom king, but the school won't let Dex do that.
I didn't think that kind of attitude was even a thing that we had to deal with.
And Dex says there's just no rule that should prevent Dex from being the prom king.
Is that they don't have a clear rule that says you have to be biologically male to run for prom king, you have to be biologically female to run for prom queen. There is no rule that states that.
And a friend says there's lots of support, but a lot of kids who oppose it too.
One of the petitions states that if your birth certificate does not say you're a male, then you shouldn't be allowed to run for prom king.
Yeah, we got to get these things codified. I'll get this in writing. Let's see. Oh, another ridiculous school story. In Ohio, eighth grader Tyler Carlin has been suspended from school because he used a Nerf gun in a school project. Now, a teacher approved it. The kid was honoring troops and said to the teacher, can I bring a Nerf gun to, you know, include in the project? And the teacher said, yeah. And then the school still suspended the kid. Here's Tyler. He was talking to Fox News about this.
When I brought the project to school, I made it into the building, and then we started to walk down the class, and then administrator from the office took the monument and brought it into another room. They said they're gonna like take my monument and that I could possibly get a suspension for it and that I can go back to class.
It was a monument to honor troops with a Nerf gun, teacher approved, and they still suspend him. And he says this was really important, this project to him.
This means so much to me because that was the last chance that the military and like their friends got to say goodbye to him, and then they have to go back out and fight him. And also my dad's friend is like a grandpa to me, and he like showed me his war stories from Vietnam, and like he just showed me all about that.
And this is what happened during the suspension.
The suspension, it was like I just sat in a room all day, and then an administrator thought that it was stupid that I got this, so she bought me a donut and played cards with me.
Your tax dollars at work. Okay, and finally in today's sign, the end really is near for Donnie and Marie in Vegas. Yes, it's the end of an era. Donnie and Marie are saying goodbye to their Las Vegas show. They've had an 11-year residency at the Flamingo, but they said that they're bringing it to an end. What if I should go see them? I saw Barry Manilow last month. I'm going to go see Wayne Newton again in a couple of months in Vegas. I wonder if I should go see Donnie and Marie. He's 61 years old. Man, he looks great for 61. And Marie looks fantastic. She's 59. I see her in those Weight Watchers or some diet thing commercial. They look fantastic, those two. That's what clean living does for you, I guess. But you better hurry if you want to see Donnie and Marie in Vegas, because they're bringing down the curtain. And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. And I got to get out of here, because I have simply said everything that I have to say for the week. But I will spend time diligently thinking all weekend about some interesting things to say on Monday's big show. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and I will see you back here Monday. High noon. Head up.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're really a fantastic audience.